Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to the Raven. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello. We should up front say right away that I'm having issues with power outages from the high winds here, so if this show just vanishes, that's why. So sorry about that ahead of time.
And Mandy is a tech guru, and she won't allow me into the site. She, for some reason, thinks I'll tweak and mess with things, and I don't know where she would have gotten that idea.
I don't know. Hey, how long did it take to get your blog back after it vanished? Right now, Michelle has her finger in the air. Yeah.
I was just thinking how I thought HTML was called Hotmail.
Oh, my gosh, I remember that. Yes, that was cute. It's, you know, she has these cute
little guys. Welcome back to the Raven.
Yes, welcome. We have a very fun show today. We have Carolyn Ivey on. She's an author with Sam Hain, and we have had the privilege and honor of getting to read her work before it comes out even, and, you know, that was quite
the Love and Lore anthology.
Yes, yes.
That she just had come out. Wonderful book. We actually got to do author quotes for it, so that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, she's just all around nice, so that always helps, too.
If you're nice, we like you better.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not, we pretend to like you, but yeah, no.
Mandy does curses.
Yeah, I like to hex. Thank you.
She needs something to do.
I get bored, you know.
Later on the show, if everything holds out, later on the show we will be discussing fairies and a little bit about the original fairy tales, as promised last week. And basically, are they what we were told once we were children, or are they darker than that? And we've got some interesting tidbits from that.
Yes, that should be fun. Looking forward to that. And
basically, we'll start off. Well, I was going to say, we have to start off giving the call-in number. If you have questions, feel free to call in, either for us or Carolyn. Listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. It's a New York number, which is long distance. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during the broadcast, just visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts. Or you can email us questions directly to ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
Yes.
And we will
and
be
we
happy
do have
to
questions.
Get to them next week.
Yeah, we do have some from last week.
Oh, good.
First, I want to apologize first and foremost. I am fighting a head cold, and clearly it's waning. So sorry ahead of time for the way I sound. We just need, like, a total disclaimer at the start of the show, pre-recorded. Sorry for any technical difficulties. Sorry for any phlegm. Sorry.
Michelle and Mandy are idiots.
Yeah. A.K.A. they're morons. Run with it.
But she loves us, so it's okay.
Oh, and speaking of which, you know, we have to do the great big thank you to all the new listeners we have in areas. And, of course, I say that, and I don't know where I set the post-it note for it, so I'm going to go off of memory. We have them in, oh, my gosh, the island off of Australia. What is it? Do you remember? Tasmania?
I didn't see the whole list. Tasmania, you mean?
I think that's the island off of Australia. I'm geographically challenged, just so we can shout that out ahead of time. Yeah, I get lost turning left out of my driveway, seriously. We also have
I'm still waiting for all the Belgium listeners to send me the chocolate I made a call
for. Peru. Everybody in Peru, hello, and thank you very much for, you know, tuning in with us. That was very exciting to see you guys popping up on there. And, you know, wow. I mean, we've definitely expanded. We're now hitting, like, almost all the continents. Damn you, Antarctica, for not having that base station listening to us. Damn you.
Hey, oh, scientists in Antarctica, can we come visit?
Annette got it. Tasmania is New Zealand. There, thank you in the chat room. Thank you for helping the geographically challenged me. Dude, I wish I was kidding. I got like a C in geography in grade school. They were like, that's not the state next to you, dumbass. Try again.
That's not the state you live in.
Exactly. What's your capital? Oh.
What's your state capital? I don't know. Georgia?
Me. I'm the center of my universe. Pick me.
Anyway, I do have a question that I want to address. I have been getting a ton of emails since Call of the Lycans, Book 3, The Last in the Trilogy, released. People are unable to find the first book. It is called Call of the Sea. And it was originally part of the Planetary Passion. So I'm just going to make that announcement because...
Yeah.
For some reason, they have it listed as Planetary Passions and not part of the Call of the Lycan series. So everyone's confused, thinking I don't know how to like count
stop
to
it,
three.
Annette. I'm going to spit phlegm it. Michelle, stop. She's like, it's Tasmanian and New England. She totally highlights the and, like, dumbass. And then she's like, pick an island, any island.
Thanks, Annette. I always love somebody to be around helping us make fun of Mandy.
Hey, like, it's hard to do.
I'm going to keep her. I like her.
She wins an honorary member pass. She's officially a Ravenette.
Did she just run away?
She probably did. She's like, oh, crap, now they're on to me. I got to go.
Okay, crazy ladies, backing up slowly.
We should probably answer these questions before.
Okay, what are the questions?
Good point. Hi, Mandy and Michelle. I want to know if the two of you believe in ghosts or life after death, and that's from Jody.
Oh, thanks for asking, Jody. I believe that I will live forever. And
it's immortal in her eyes. See what I have to live
for. Yeah, I'm going to live forever, die trying.
Okay, Fifi, when you're, can you please tell me your answer? Boy. Okay, I'll take this one. Yes, I do believe in ghosts. I can't actually give you a specific reason why. I guess, you know, I think we're all made up of energy, and I think that some sort of energy survives after, you know, we're technically not alive anymore. I don't know what that is. You know, when I figure it out, I'll do my best to EVP it back to you guys. Seriously. Okay, you're on, Michelle, in case you missed that. I was done. Yeah.
You know, I was just trying to say, I believe in the possibility of ghosts. I haven't seen proof. I'm kind of one of those I want to see proof type people. So I believe in the possibility of it, but I haven't seen any solid evidence myself to say, yes, for sure, ghosts are there. I do have
you and your PC answer. Come on.
But it's true. I
kind of sort of possibly maybe believe in the possibility that there could be possibly.
I believe in the possibility of it. I haven't seen a ghost. No ghost has ever come up to me and said, hey, how's it going? I'm going to be haunting over here, you know? So how can I say something exists? I haven't seen it, you know? I'm one of those people who needs some type of proof.
Okay.
Don't make fun of my PC answer. That's how I feel.
I'm so mocking you.
You know me that
right
I can
now.
Be so un-PC. I'm just not going to do it here.
Actually, we're like the poster children for non-PC people. We're like, really, don't look
I'm
over here because we're just going to offend.
We had put this disclaimer on our site.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying this is not PC. If that's what you're expecting, go away.
Yeah. Now, I totally believe. I firmly believe there's something. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I don't know. There's something. I don't know. I want to believe there's more than a great big nothing. So
well,
let's
I
just go with that.
Well, I want to believe, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to believe, too. It's just, yeah, I don't have proof, so I can't say, yes,
right,
there are.
Right, right,
I'm looking for proof. If you're a ghost, you know, hey, stop on by.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm totally into the idea of haunting Michelle. I'm kind of psyched about that. That's the one thing I look forward to. Yeah. She'll be behind her. Stop folding my laundry, Mandy.
Are you kidding? You might have a car accident just so you'll come pull my laundry.
Hey, oopsie daisies on the front line.
I have no idea where you get that idea. Here, drink some poison. I mean juice.
Well, Annette, in the chat room, she says that she grew up in a haunted house, so she for sure believes. Okay. Ooh, somebody's in New Zealand. Oh, see, now where was Tully when I needed her? For God's sakes, I didn't know an island around there. Where was she? Okay, now next question before Carolyn calls in is going to be, if you could be any supernatural creature you wanted to be, what would you pick and why? That's from Tom.
Well, Tom, Mandy and I are supernatural.
Immortal in our eyes, remember?
We're super.
Super special.
Oh, that one's too hard. I think vampires, you know, they're so dark. And if you're doing the romanticized version of any supernatural creature,
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, of course. But if you're going with like Quentin Tarantino's Dusk Till Dawn type vampire,
yeah,
you know, morphs into a snake head, maybe not so much.
Right. I can't do werewolf either because I have issues with dog hair. That wouldn't work for me. Yeah. I mean, could you see it? I'd be like totally shaving myself all day long. I'd have like the Nair and the wax strips going nonstop. It would be just ugly. I'm Italian, so it's almost that bad now, but you know, it would just be worse. But. About 1,000 people just clicked off.
Ooh, and a whole new group of fetishes just clicked off.
I don't know. You know, I think I'd have to go with some sort of, you know, not just because it's today's theme. I'd go with some sort of fae. I would. I think that's a pretty safe bet. I don't want to be anything pixie-like because, you know, I want to be, you know, 2 foot high or 2 inches even. I don't know. Something like that. I couldn't pick what, but that's what I'd narrow it down to. I've got a general. We'll have to go with it. Michelle, what about you?
On what?
What should be? You got to pick something. You can't go
I
with
said,
that.
Like, a vampire.
Yeah, but then
as
you totally backed out of it.
No,
you
I said
PC
as long as it
there,
was a
too.
Romanticized version.
Oh,
as
that's
long
true.
As I got to choose the type of vampire. I don't want to be some snakehead morphing Death Till Dawn Quentin Tarantino vampire.
But you know what? It could be fun to scare the living hell out of people with that, though.
Well, yeah. But
I mean, I'd enjoy that.
They turned into
part.
Ooze when they got staked.
Yeah. And she got to dance with the snake, I think, too, didn't she?
Yeah, see, and that's what I'm saying. I don't want to be that kind of vampire. I want to be
salmonella from that.
I'm choosing the romanticized version.
If
you
she
know?
Gets the stat, she doesn't want to play. Okay. Okay, people, all right, they're guessing. Yeah, guys, in the chat room, what would you be? Before Carolyn calls in here, if you guys had any choice, what would you be? Let's see, Annette says an elf might be cool. Tully says Pegasus, unicorn.
I think I'd make Mandy. If I had to choose one for her, she'd be like that chupacabra. What is
I'm
it,
a
like the evil
bitch.
Chicken? What was that evil chicken thing called from Mexico? That would so be you.
You know what? You'd be my little hellhound with that chronic drooling and licking your balls problem, okay?
So. You know what? I was all for the hellhound until you did that.
I can ruin just about anything if you leave me alone with it long enough. Oh, no. Millie's having issues with hearing us. Sorry about that, Millie. If you can even hear my apology, hopefully you can get that back in. Let's see, we're still waiting on Carolyn, so hopefully she'll be able to call in. She's actually near my neck of the woods, so she's experiencing the same high winds problems and the light, you know, the flickering and the whole work. So, yeah, okay, so Leela says she'd be a dragon. That's interesting. That would be kind of fun, too. I mean, come on, you know, hoard your jewels, carry on. You could do the whole, you know, stereotypical thing. We have to, okay, speaking of which, Michelle, we get a lot of email about doing another one of the Dragon series books from Stop Dragging My Heart Around with you. Hey,
sorry,
you know what? No.
Up.
No. Seriously, I'm right now looking for a sound effect to totally, so I don't know, I'm just going with one. Wasn't exactly fitting, but damn it.
Mandy wanted to play with her new sound effect.
I did. Oh, we got another one. Oh, I think Carolyn's here, so she's going to save us from having to hear anymore.
Good. I was going to make a quick announcement. I noticed, like, on your blog and the Smart Bitches blog, The Liar's Diary by Patry Francis released today. And today is a huge blog day for her, and you could probably actually tell a little bit more about it because it was your blog that I found that on.
Right.
But it's to help her promote her book.
I think it was actually yesterday, but I'm not sure. I think it was the 29th of January.
Well, I lose my dates.
That's okay.
But she's fighting cancer and is drained.
Yes.
And so everyone is kind of banding together to help her promote her book.
Yes.
And it's called
so.
The Liar's Diary by Patry Francis. So go check it out.
You can see the links for it at ravenhappyhour.com on our blog. And we send you straight to either her site if you want to go there, or you can, you know, purchase it from Amazon. But like Michelle said, she's fighting cancer, pretty aggressive form. She's really drained and does not have it in her to be out there promoting. So every little bit helps.
And it's a beautiful cover.
Yes,
I just
yes.
heard about it yesterday, so the promotional thing must be working. So
yes. All right. Well, now I think Carolyn Ivey's on the line with us. Carolyn, are you there?
Oh, wonderful. Save us from
Hi.
Ourselves.
Hello.
She ran away.
Yes. Oh, are you there?
This isn't Carolyn.
Oh, this isn't?
No.
Oh, well, yeah, pretend. Go with it. Pretend. Just do it, man. Do it. Your
well,
book is
I heard
called...
you guys were Sam's guest for a few minutes, so I thought I'd call in.
Excellent. Now, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Jacqueline Frank, and I'm calling from North Carolina.
I love it. Jackie's back. Yay. You know,
I don't
I
mean
harassed.
To take over Carolyn's spot or change
no,
it
no,
over,
just
but I just figured you guys were like trying to fill space for a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, that's exactly what we were doing. Yeah, we were going to start like nursery rhymes soon, and it was going to get ugly. But no, thank you for calling in. And you're going to be on our show again coming up soon, and we're going to talk Nightwalkers and all that fun stuff.
I am. What the heck date am I coming on again?
Oh, that's a good question. Michelle, do you know coming on again?
I think I have it on the calendar somewhere.
I don't remember.
I've got it on the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, and also,
you
know,
authors who are coming up in the next couple of months. So
yeah, and we've got quite
a few. You do. You have quite the lineup going.
Yes,
on.
We do. Yes, and a lot of paranormal experts in
that.
I know. We feel so loved. So I got warm and fuzzy inside, but that could be indigestion. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'm coming on
February 27th. Mandy, go take care of that.
Yes. Yes.
It's really weird listening to you on the internet and then hearing you on the phone, and your delay is, like, different.
I think Carolyn is here.
Is she?
I believe so. And I can't get the damn monitor to shut off.
What does Carolyn write?
She writes a little bit of everything. Let's grab her here.
Okay. She does paranormal romance for Samhain. I know that.
Ooh. Oh, geez. Now's a great time for that switchboard to freeze up. Yeah, that's wonderful. Carolyn, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Carolyn?
Hi.
Hi. Is this Carolyn now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, geez. We have a winner. All right.
Randomly answering the phone, calling everyone Carolyn.
You know what? I forgot to get Carolyn's number to know what hers is on the switchboard, so I just have to, you know, use the force, and apparently it's not with me. So.
The force is not strong with you.
Carolyn, Jacqueline Frank is on the line, too. She called in to say hi.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I'm sitting here, with my foot in a cast, but yeah, I'm doing fine.
You're in a what?
I had foot surgery not too long ago, so I'm kind of sitting around with my foot elevated and being hurt.
Oh, you poor thing.
Oh,
poor thing, you sit around, can't do any housework. How horrible for you.
It is. It is. And I just got to
sit there
right.
Sitting on your laptop all day long.
No, it's tough. And I didn't time it right this time. I've done this before with my other foot. And the last time I timed it just right, and I did it right before the Christmas holiday, so I didn't have to do anything.
Oh, that was great.
But this time I didn't get that lucky. I had to wait till after the holidays.
Oh, geez.
Well, you can't have everything.
We had her scheduled for earlier, and she had to postpone it a little. She's like, guys, I'm going to be on some good drugs then. I think we're going to want to wait.
I think we should have had her on then.
I know. That would have been great.
That would have
been fun. I would have had to tune back in later on to find out what I said, because I would have not had any idea what I had said.
We try to have you sing show tunes or something.
No.
Okay, we actually have another caller on the line, too. We'll go ahead and nab them so they don't have to wait on hold too long with it being long distance. Hi, welcome to Raven Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is the world-famous J.C. Wilder.
Oh, hi, J.C.
You have got quite
it's
a caller.
Come on, can we get one? Nora Roberts, where are you? We need you to fill up the last spot. Come on. This is great. Oh, my gosh.
I've got one thing to say.
Yes.
Four Carol's my ass. Her husband runs around at her beck and call wearing his socks and pajamas, I might add. She has she didn't have to lift a finger.
I mean, I have you know, he has the flu right now, so I'm having to do a little bit for myself.
Once he's better, can I borrow him for a while?
You guys should be honored, because I actually took a shower this morning for you guys. So.
Oh, stop it. I didn't even bother. I did do deodorant and brush my teeth, but that's as far as I went.
Oh.
Yes, aren't you glad we don't have scratch and sniff technology?
Oh, yes.
All I did was pick up my kittens from getting their poor little balls cut off.
Oh, no. Ew.
What's Jackie doing?
Mental image.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Jacqueline, for calling in, everybody. If you don't know who Jacqueline is, she's New York Times, you know.
Why I'm calling in, though. I wanted to know. I asked the question. What does Carolyn write? And Carolyn, do you have anything out new currently that I should be looking for?
Currently, I have available in print is the Love and Lore anthology from SalinPublishing.com. And that's also available in ebook. The story I have in that anthology is called Wildish Things. And I just released, actually it's a re-release of an award-winning paranormal romance called Beaudry's Ghost. And I got the opportunity to revise and expand that story. And now it's out in ebook right now from Solon Publishing as well. And it will be out in print in October.
Cool. Very, very cool. I have quite an ebook collection. In fact, I think I have a lot of Miss J.C. Wilder's. Well, that's another story. I'm going to get going now so you can do your show. And I would just say it was very nice to talk to you.
Yes, and thank you. And we'll see you again in like a few weeks.
Okay, sure. Great, guys.
Excellent. Thanks, Jackie.
Bye, Jackie.
Nice to meet you.
Was J.C. still on?
Yes, I think J.C. Wilder's going to hang out with
us
today.
You have the switchboard.
Yes.
So you can see, like, everybody who's on and me. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, running blind there. Who's there?
J.C. and I are cooking up a duet anthology that's supposed to take place in a haunted bed and breakfast.
Fun. Okay, we want to hear about that.
Well, we're going to call it Tales from the Inn, and we're working on those stories right now. And she will be teaching me the art of erotica, so this should be interesting. Yeah, you hear her laughing back there.
It took me years just to convince her she could say the word sex without blushing.
It took me that long with Michelle, too. It's amazing. Look at Michelle now. There's no holding her back.
Oh, yeah. She's on her way down. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So now, how long have the two of you known each other for?
Oh gosh. We first met online back in the mid-1990s, I believe. And knew each other online for a long time, and then actually didn't find out we lived maybe 10 miles away from each other until I actually moved away to Cleveland area. And the first time we met was when we went to Romantic Times convention in Nashville, which I think was in 96.
It was 95.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So we were both unpublished and both aspiring at that time, and we went there.
There.
Yeah.
Now, that was telling us, one of you, about, like, a real-life ghost story that you had while at one of the RTs?
Carol and I have had a slew of them. When we went to Nashville, we went to Stones River, what they call it, park?
Battlefield.
It's the battlefield where, part of the Civil War was fought. And we had all sorts of interesting experiences that day.
Yeah, I think I mentioned a little story about that not too long ago.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell the listeners about it, Carolyn? I thought that one
was we were at the battlefield, running around the battlefield, and we ended up at the battlefield cemetery. And we had been walking together most of the afternoon, and so we kind of separated and wandered around the cemetery by ourselves. And I was walking around just looking at the headstones, and I ran across one that just had like one name on it. It just said Jesse and Ohio. And I was thinking, this poor fellow, nobody knows his last name. All I knew about him was that he was from Ohio, and his family probably doesn't know where he is, and he's there all alone. So I sat there by his grave, and I sang to him for a while. And when I met back up with JC a little while later at the central part of the cemetery, she had this look on her face. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said, just a few minutes ago, I was wandering around here, and I heard someone crying. It sounded like a young man. And it was the exact same time that I was by this gravestone, talking or singing to this gravestone.
I just find that so fascinating. Do you draw inspiration from your stories from, like, this event or events like it? Either one of you.
Well, for Beaudry's Ghost, that really arose from a trip I took with my family to the Outer Banks in North Carolina not too long after my son was born. And on the way there, we stopped by Appomattox Battlefield in Virginia. And they had just had a reenactment there, and so there were still, like, footprints and hoof prints on the ground, and you could see where the tents had been pitched, and it was just a very strange experience. And then we went to the Outer Banks. Now, that place is known as the Graveyard of the Atlantic because of all the shipwrecks, and it does have a pretty significant part to play in Civil War history. And on the drive home, these characters just started speaking to me in my head, and by the time I happened to have a notebook with me, and I just started writing down an outline of this book that would become eventually Bodrey's Ghost. And it's one of those books that it's like the book of my heart. It's the one that it grabbed a hold of me, and I had to write it, or else, you know, I would have these people talking in my head the rest of my life. You know, I'm sure you know how all that is.
Oh yeah, those are some of the best books though to read as a reader. We have a question for you in the chat room.
Okay.
Tolly wants to know if you find that spirits in these battlefields want to stay stuck and not move on. Do they want to stay there?
I'm really not that psychically sensitive. I've had some experiences where I've heard things or someone has told me about things that are around me, but I am not really able to, you know, communicate with the spirits like that. JC might be able to, it's a little bit more psychically sensitive than I am. Maybe she could answer that question.
Well, my sense is that a lot of times, especially when someone dies in a traumatic situation such as battle, is it happens so quickly they don't realize they're dead.
And so they don't know to move on.
They don't know to move on, and they basically keep reliving the same pattern.
So it's more of a residual haunting.
Exactly. It's not always a conscious thing. A lot of times, I think, meaning that they don't consciously realize or understand what they're doing. They, to them, they're just living their life. So, I mean, from my experience, that's what I've run into.
Yeah.
Now, Carolyn, you mentioned that you had Deirdre's Ghost. Is that right?
Deirdre's Ghost.
When does that come out from Samhain?
That is out now in ebook, and it will come out in print in late October of this year.
It'll be in print. Can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Oh, well, the story is about, it takes place during a modern-day Civil War reenactment on the Outer Banks in North Carolina. And there is a ghost that roams the Outer Banks. His name is Jared Bodrey. He's the title character. And he was actually captured and mutilated and murdered during this battle. And he's been roaming the Outer Banks for 100 years. Like JC said, he doesn't know to move on, and he's kind of wandering around with a vague sense of rage, wondering, you know. And during this, he comes across this reenactment, and he somehow thinks this is my chance to relive this moment and end up, you know, not being murdered and getting revenge on my murderer somehow. And so he takes over a living body and as a spirit possession, and somehow triggers like a mass takeover. And so all the participants of the reenactment become possessed by spirits of dead Civil War soldiers, and for them it becomes real again. And except for the heroine, Taylor Brannon, who is a psychic sensitive, she's the only one in her reenacting unit who has not been repossessed. Possessed by a spirit, and so she's kind of caught in the middle of this, trying to protect her friends, and then she's dealing with this ghost who seems to be hell-bent on revenge and self-destruction, and it kind of all goes downhill from there. And that's what the Happily Ever After app, actually.
It does have one?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I love Happily Ever Afters. I'm such a girly girl.
That was quite the challenge. The original version of the book, when I first submitted it, didn't really have the traditional Happily Ever After. And
ooh,
my editor said,
complain.
Huh?
Should have heard me complain about that.
Yeah. Well, this is Bonnie Pearson at Dreams Unlimited, the old Dreams Unlimited. And she said, I will publish this, but you have to change this ending. Well, changing the ending meant I had to change the beginning and the middle. So.
Okay, everybody, real quick, if you want to call in, the listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. That's 646-595-3998. It's a New York number, so long-distance charges apply. You can also chat live with us if you just go ahead to ravenhappyhour.com and just click on the graphics for Raven Radio, and you're going to find your way to the chat without a problem. But sorry, I had to interject.
Okay.
You know, I really want to get Carolyn to talk a little bit about her Love and Lore story, because I really enjoyed that story, and I think the characters would, too. So, yeah. And since I wield ultimate power with the switchboard, ha, ha, ha. I guess. But can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Love and Lore, the anthology, is kind of a Celtic-themed anthology that I did with Gia Dawn and Felix Carson. And the story I have in this anthology is called Wildish Things. And it takes place in Ireland, modern day, so contemporary, with a little bit of Celtic mythology, paranormal-ish, thrown in the background. And I loved writing the story because I'd been to Ireland once, and I wish I could go back again. And it was kind of my little way of returning to Ireland myself. And it has this lovely, wonderful, like, bad boy, good bad boy hero. He's on a Harley. He rides a Harley. He's an Irishman. You know, what's not to like about this guy?
Does it get better than that, I ask you? I think not, my friend.
And the heroine comes to Ireland. She's an artist. And she's supposed to have a tour guide. It's not him, but he saw her picture and decided to kind of kidnap her, unbeknownst to her. So it's kind of a kidnapping on the road on a Harley in Ireland story. It was just a lot of fun to write.
Okay, now someone wants to know. I forget. Sorry, I have to scroll up in here. Oh, Annette wants to know how you ladies got published. She has a couple books. And she has no idea. Yes, I speak English on occasion. I'm sorry. She has no idea how to go about getting that done. So.
Well, when I wrote Bobby's Ghost, I submitted it to the big New York publishers, and I kept getting really good feedback on it. But they said, you know, we just can't put this. It doesn't fit any of our categories. And I realized that it's a book that defied category. So then I went, this was about the time the internet publishing started up, and Dreams Unlimited, the one of the original internet publishers, started up, and so I submitted to them. And they took the book, and when they unfortunately went belly up, LTV Books picked it up, and that's when it first went into print with a small independent press. And I think if you have a book that doesn't quite fit the mold of the New York houses. Check out the independent publishers, because that's where you might find a home for a book that's a little bit out of the ordinary. What about you, JC?
Oh, girl, you don't want to ask me this question. I did everything wrong on my last publication. And my excuse was that I was a breech birth.
I love it.
Because I literally made no attempt to ever get published, and an editor came to me. They asked me to see one of my books, which I had just posted on a website. Never occurred to me people would pay to read what I wrote. And then I go to send her the book and just send her the wrong book, send her, you know, bad edits in it, you know, one of your, what you would call a draft copy. So, you know, other than hard work and persistence, I can tell you nothing, because I did it wrong.
Is there an asshole-proof way to go about it? You must have done something right.
Yeah, well.
I mean, in the end, it panned out, so it's clearly, you know, a way to do it, I guess.
I never do anything normally, so there you go.
That sucks the fun out of it.
Yeah, normal's overrated. Totally.
I mean, Beaufry's Ghost is one of those, I think is one of those miracle books. It went through two publishers that went belly up underneath it. And finally, Solon Publishing picked it up. And
well, it actually won an award at one of them, didn't it?
It did. With LTD Books, it won an award as the Independent Publishers of America Romance of the Year. And then LTD promptly went belly up after that, and before it got any decent distribution. And Solon picked it up, and they gave me an editor, Lindsay McGurk. Love her, love her, love her. She and I went through this book again, and we gave it a complete overhaul based on the writing skills that I've gained over the years since I first wrote it. And it was a pretty humbling experience to go back and look at what you thought was your best work at the time, and you look at it, you know, 5, 6, 7 years later, and you just cringe.
Yeah. You know, with some writing buddies and I, we refer to it the and them books, like, and then this happened, and then this, and then
yeah,
I look back, you're like,
oh my God. My biggest thing was I did a lot of head hopping, and now that I know what head hopping is, it's one of my pet peeves. And
you know, I like seeing everybody's points of view.
Yeah.
And that never bothered me as a reader, but you're right, as a published author, when they come in and, you know, try to tell you, you know, point of view, head hopping, and they're like, oh my God, and then you notice it in every single thing you read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can say honestly that I wrote just first person when I started, so that wasn't an issue for me, and I couldn't grasp what people were talking about. What do you mean that person's head hopping? What do you mean? I had to go, and somebody had to explain it to me because I wasn't a big third person, you know, type of person. So it was new. Everything was new. I was such a publishing moron, and it's so sad to admit how little I knew and how little I still know about it all, which is shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always something.
But, you know, the thing is, you got there.
Yeah. Almost, you know, everything I learned at the beginning was because of the old CompuServe literary forum. I happened to stumble upon this forum full of published authors who were ready to and willing to give me freely of their advice and their experience. And I avoided a lot of pitfalls because of that.
Jackie Friend in the chat room, and she says that she wrote Jacob back in 2001, and she was really scared of rejection. She said she's a big baby. I mean, how long did you, how long before you wrote your first thing before it actually saw the light of day for both of you? How long was that?
Gosh, I started writing Beaufry's Ghost, when was my son born? 1992. So about 1993, I started fiddling around with a story, and it didn't finally get published by Dreams Unlimited until 1999. So that was about 5 years. But I didn't really seriously pursue finishing the book and getting it published until about a year and a half before that. So,
what about you, JP?
I wrote my first book in 95. And I actually wrote it for an online magazine, and then the magazine went under. Thank you very much. And so I do, yeah. Lately, I have this thing about electronics, so if you have a pacemaker, don't get near me.
Is that why my watch died this morning? Because I was going to be talking to you.
Very possible.
Yeah.
So I wrote that in 95 and threw it on my website in 95. And then the publisher for Dreams Unlimited found it in 98 and published it in 98. Mm-hmm. So,
and
there you go. And the rest is history.
Are there some genres that you want to write in that you haven't conquered yet, or are you pretty happy to stay with paranormal?
Oh, gosh, I did the paranormal, and the two novellas I've done with the In the Gloaming anthology and the Love and Lore anthology have been more fantasy-oriented. I've been studying Celtic mythology for years and years and years, and finally JC looked at me one day looking we were in a bookstore, and I had three books on Celtic theme books in my hand, and she looked at me and said, "When are you going to start writing something about all the stuff you're studying?" And so I thought, well, that's a concept. So I finally started writing something based on what I've been reading all these years.
So
yeah, I will return back to the paranormal.
I figured if she's going to spend all that much money on books, she may at least get a tax write-off.
Exactly. I like the way you think. We're going to segue from the Celtic and that right into fairies, which is what we'd promised we'd close up the show with today. So, ladies, fairy tales, what's your take on them? Do you think they're a little bit more darker than what we were led on when we were little to believe, or what?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. All right, now I'm opening it up to Michelle. She's going to take this bag and run with it. Or I'm just going to start poking fun of her and doing sound effects again. Don't make me do the cartoon kiss because I will so pull that one out, okay?
I'm running with fairies. Is that what you just said?
Well, you said it.
Well, you are my BFF, so I guess you are a fairy. No, actually, we were going to talk about... I am so taken away her sound effect button.
What is that? What in the world?
You know, when we used to do pre-recorded podcasts before we had the live radio show, Mandy would be able to do sound effects, and I wouldn't hear them on my end until after the show was put together. So I always lived in fear of, like, toilets flushing as I'm, you know, trying to say something and, like, people going, ooh, ah, and the karate chop. And she would just slip in sound effects randomly, and I wouldn't hear them until after the live show or until the show was recorded and went live.
That's what friends are for.
Yeah. I think Mandy.
Okay, in my defense, I pushed the button for that like 3 minutes ago, and it's lagging. That's how long it's taking. So I need to like think ahead of time on what may come up.
I can actually hear you. So I know when she's flushing the toilet on me. I have to go do the live sound effects if I want to do it to her.
Do your growl. I love that one. Do your growl. Grr.
The growl.
The growl. Do
grr.
Your growl. Exactly. Grr. There's mean Michelle, guys. Are you scared?
I can't do sound effects on demand. It has to fit into the time. Anyway,
yes.
Grim fairy tales.
Yes.
A lot of people, there are critics of fairy tales saying they're too violent, and you know, what they don't realize is that what we have today is really a watered-down version of the fairy tales that used to be told, you know, in
very
the 1600s,
1700s.
I know a lot of writers know this, but a lot of people, you know, their critics saying, you know, fairy tales are too violent and all these things that happen. And, you know, back in the day, these, you know, you got not only were children being abandoned in woods and eaten and fattened, I mean, they were a lot more grotesque, like, you know, Sleeping Beauty was actually, instead of being kissed awake, like in the Disney version, she was, you know, basically raped when she was asleep and woke up the morning after, you know, 9 months later, the mother of twins.
Yeah.
Way to find a positive
that happened.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, Disney comes along and it's a kiss wakes her up.
Well, now I think, in my opinion, you know, our society has become so whitewashed that, you know, you don't want to scare the kids, you don't want to offend this person, you don't want to offend that person, and it, you know, a lot of the you know, fairy tale-esque stories have lost the real flavor of what they were.
And I actually like the Grimm Brother versions of the story.
Oh, yeah.
Love going back and seeing them. Goldilocks was an old crone who ended up impaled by the three angry bears on, like, the St. Paul's Cathedral on the steeple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of the, and I mean, it was only, I think, centuries later when she became the little, you know, golden ringlet, you know, little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she started out as like an old lady. Scottish Cinderella had the mom cutting off the heels and toes of her daughters so the slipper would fit. And I think it was, and I read this one a few times, and it was, you know, it was like some crow as they were going to the palace, and he was going to marry her because her shoe fit the slipper. that, you know, they saw the blood dripping out of it, said something, and they took the girl back.
Lovely.
Now, that's true love. I'm sorry, baby. I was going to marry you, but you don't fit the shoe.
Well, my novella, Wildish Things, involves a goddess, an Irish goddess, who's kind of bored and lonely, and she's actually quite horny. And so she's quite a dark character.
Sorry, drinking just water. Came right out.
Yeah, I think I've ribbed off on her a little. And she's when you think of a goddess, you think of someone who's beautiful and lovely and all-knowing, and this one is, she's a goddess of the land, and her body is the land, so her body is like gray like rocks, and she's got, you know, moss for hair, and her teeth are kind of lumpy, and she's not really very attractive, but she is the goddess of the land, and everybody needs love, so yeah. So she's kind of the dark shadow in the back of this story that's kind of reflects.
And I loved how you tapped into some of those actual, the myths that were the ancient myths, not the watered-down versions of them.
Yeah. And
I loved the hag character.
These goddesses and gods and were so much a part of everyday life for the ancient Celts. Darkness and light was part of their entire existence. It kind of existed side by side. And they just kind of took it as this was just a part of their world.
Yeah, and it really did fit into, like, pre-Victorian culture. Mm-hmm. You know, children, I think people forget that children were not treated as we treat children today.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, they really
yeah.
didn't have a childhood. They were, you
right.
know, really just kind of short adults who, mm-hmm. you know, were going to be married as soon as they hit their teens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and now we, like, don't get married until, you like, usually 18 is the earliest. You have a 16-year-old slipping in, but yeah, I mean,
your tongue. My daughter's 21, and I don't want her getting married till she's 35. So,
oh, there we go. But I mean, and these kids, I mean, they grew up. There was cramped living corners, and you would have, you know, debauchery, drunks, violence. I mean, you know, medieval society in these close quarters, and they grew up seeing that kind of thing. You
mm-hmm.
know, and mom skinning and getting dinner, not going through McDonald's drive-thru. And so it took a lot more to shock, I think, those children than it does the children of today.
You just lost me after the can't go through the drive-in thing. I'm sorry, I don't have a sense of fan anymore, and I don't understand
like,
what you're
I
saying.
I have to get my own food. There's no way that dirty animal's coming in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And it would be starving in the Middle Ages.
Did you ever see that show, 1850s House, where they took people and they put them in a Victorian mansion and they lived like Victorians?
Oh.
It was on PBS a few years ago. It's called 1850s House or something. And you know, they took a modern family and put them in this Victorian house, and they had to live like a Victorian family without shampoo and cleaning, without cleaning supplies that we know.
Yeah, okay, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, Mandy's gone. You
yeah,
lost
and,
her.
You know, they were, it was funny. They were sneaking off to the Walmart to get, you know, shampoo. And they
that would be a funny reality show. Or,
it
you
was
know,
very
I think
funny.
Victorians would be a lot easier to do than, like, say, the medieval period.
Yeah.
I could live in a castle, you know, without, yeah, none of the cleaning products or anything, but also just that close of a quarters with so many people.
Yeah.
I think I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
I would niche out my own little closet that nobody could find me in.
Now, okay, I'm going to play the back on topicer because that's one of us always have to pick up the ball and do that sometimes.
I was just
damn it, it's my turn. Do not interrupt me, Michelle, or I will gong you again, okay? Don't do it. And I'm going
to
do it now, and in 5 minutes,
it's going to happen. Little Red Riding Hood ready to go.
Okay, now, when you go with the fairy tales and everything else, you also have to spin off kind of onto mythology. I think a lot of people, the fairy tales, you actually get those things, you know, like the fairy godmother coming in, and where did that come from? And then you keep going, and you end up over in the realm of fairies. Now, I know the Celtic lore, you were doing some of that. What is it that stuck out to you, and what's some of your favorite parts, both of you? Caroline, go ahead.
Sorry. Silence.
Cricket. Damn painkillers again.
Carol's the Celtic girl. I'm not really Oh, gosh.
I don't know. all of it. I think what first grabbed me first was the music of the Celtic culture.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, when you listen to Irish traditional music and Scottish traditional music, you can listen to a happy song, but there is some kind of something behind it that is melancholy, and it's dark, and it's sad, and there's all this history behind it that I just had to delve into. And I can't think of one thing that doesn't fascinate me about Celtic mythology or Celtic culture. I mean, here recently I've been getting into the Celtic Oum, which is like the ancient form of writing, original form of writing for the Celtic and Druid culture. And it involved like 20 to 25, depending on what system you're talking about, symbols that originally stood for different sacred trees of the Celtic mythology or Celtic religion. And then it evolved into a divination system in more modern times, and also a healing system as well. So I think the whole culture was a verbal culture, and it was all about storytelling and all about passing on the traditions and the stories and the myths and which weren't myths to them, it was their history by word of mouth and by writing it down. And I think that's what drew me to it, was the whole storytelling.
I mean, I love how they took some things, like real-life issues. I love how, I mean, every culture has their own mythologies, but I especially love how they would change things, like the changelings. You know, you had a child that wasn't quite what you expected. It was maybe sickly or something, and then they had, you know, a mm-hmm. way to play it off. I mean, just imagine who came up with that to start. I mean, some guy standing around. I mean, where does this come from, and how does everyone latch onto it?
Created it.
Is there a grain of truth in it? You have to ask yourself that. Yeah.
The Irish people, they do believe that the fairies are real, and they live right beside them and underneath the hill and under the hawthorn tree, and they still, there's certain things that you don't do in Ireland. You don't do certain things at a crossroads. You don't cut down a hawthorn tree. You don't go inside a fairy fort. You don't build your house on a certain spot, or the fairies will give you problems.
Yeah.
And one kind of well-known example of that is, do you remember someone named John DeLorean, who invented the DeLorean car? He wanted to build his factory in Ireland, and he cut down a hawthorn tree that was known to be a fairy tree. And we all know what happened to the DeLorean car. They just don't exist.
Okay, why do I keep thinking back to the future?
I know, me too.
The car. That was the car. And that was the joke about that movie.
We're so products of the 80s.
We are. Yeah, well, the moment she said DeLorean, I was thinking to myself, oh, Carol, you just lost them.
Stacey knows us so well. She's like, yeah, that's it. There goes the M&M.
It's not hard to push us off the path.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But, no, I mean, I really have to respect how much goes behind all their mythology and how it's lasted so long. And
mm-hmm.
it just, I don't know, and it's not ever-changing either. Some of them are ever. This seems to be, I mean, there's pretty good ground rules for it, and everybody sort of adheres to that. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Very much so.
It fascinates me, and it fascinates me too that, you know, the Scottish and Irish, they're different, yet there's similarities to both, for sure.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't know,
the
I love
Scottish,
it.
Scottish were originally came from Ireland. They were in Ireland, and they went across the sea to Scotland, and then they came back.
Mm-hmm.
So the language is really very similar in structure, but the spelling is different, where the Irish will maybe have 10 letters in a word. The Scottish version of that word will have 5. And it's pronounced pretty much the same way.
Now, JC, now, I, you know, it doesn't have to be Celtic or anything, but the mythology? Is there anything that you, you know, you piques your interest with it, or?
Well, I love mythology in general.
Hmm.
Just the romantic, imaginative, you know, the whole idea behind mythology. Their way, you know, being, you know, whatever you're looking at, like Greek mythology, it's their way of explaining the world around them. And, you know, that just really fascinates me, how they adapt their surroundings, you know, into stories that are almost like, you know, Aesop's fables.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and that just, you know, that really fascinates me. But I like anything history related, so.
Does anybody else feel a little slighted that in today's society we don't have that, like, ultimate belief in something that's just like, well, we can't explain it, so it must be this.
Oh,
I mean, come on,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I have yet to go, like, slice open the family dog to see the future. But, I mean, come on, these people just, I just want to be a fly on the wall in history and just, you know, bounce around.
Well, you I think it might be more of an American thing, too.
I believe that.
Randy is so going to be making fun of me for this. But, okay, she knows I'm a huge Taps fan, and they have the Ghost Hunters International now.
Me too, me too.
Yay, haha, Mandy, they're on my side. But they have the Taps International now, and I love watching them talking to these people who aren't American, you know, because I am obviously American, where they, you know, express their beliefs, and it's kind of like, well, we don't consider this haunted, or, you know, we just, you know, it's spirits, they're... You know, they're here, they're always, you know, been here, and it's not a big deal to have ghosts in your house. It's kind of just an expected thing. You know, and here it's like if you have a ghost in your house, it's like something really abnormal and strange. And I love, you know, listening to other cultures, even in today's society, talk about it. Because I think in America we are so, you know, everything is science, everything is explained and logical.
Oh, yeah.
And
very Western,
you know, myths have disappeared.
Well, I can tell you that I grew up in North Carolina. It's not too far removed from from Scotland, actually. And the people that are in my family in North Carolina, it's the same way. They live next. Their relatives are buried in the backyard. It's not unusual for them to have, you know, psychic experiences and just take it in stride as a part of normal life. And my mother, my sister knows exactly when someone in the family has died. My mother knows when I'm lying, if I'm really good at it. So I call her psychic. But it's, for me and my family, having something going on in your house is just not all that unusual.
Well, that is our cue that it's time to end our show. I want to thank you, Carolyn and JC, for visiting us with us today. And
thank you.
Next
Thanks
week,
for JC
Wilder and Mary Wine will be here next week.
Yes, JC, we'll see you again next week. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again with the Raven Happy Hour. You are welcome to email us if you have any questions for next week's show, ravenradio at ravenhappyhour.com, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, and before we absolutely hang up, can I give a shout-out to my new cover? If you go to my blog, you can see it. I love it. It's for the Pocket Anthology.
Yeah, it's mandyroth.com/blog.
Yeah, I'm totally in love with this cover, guys.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
See you next week. Thank you, Jackie, for calling in. JC, for calling in. Carolyn, thank you very much.